Father, we ask, Lord, in Jesus' name, that as we look to this time of communion and this time of meditation, we would discipline ourselves now to divorce from our thinking, divorce from our energy, divorce from our being tonight distractions. That you would calm our hearts. And Lord, that we would receive from you what the Spirit would say to us. Father, for those that have not been here these last 2 to 3 weeks, they're at a great handicap this evening. And I pray just that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would fill in the gap somehow. To those that have been coming, to the many last Wednesday night who said as they left the building to me, I will need next Wednesday night. This is serious work. And Lord, I pray from the oldest tonight to the youngest tonight, if adultery has affected their lives, that you would send your miraculous healing. So, Father, visit us now in Jesus' name. I'm going to ask you to listen this evening and to not look around. In fact, maybe we could even bring the lights down a little bit out there where you're at, just to eliminate distractions as much as possible. Because of the magnitude of the seventh commandment, the Bible tells us, as we've been studying these last few weeks, thou shalt not commit adultery. And we've been looking over the course of the last couple of weeks of why it's so violently effective as a tool to destroy faith in our lives or in people's lives. Why it's such a successful tool to undermine relationship, to ruin the future of children or others regarding marriage. Why in the Ten Commandments, with all the things that plague the heart of man, that the seventh commandment is thou shalt not commit adultery? What's with that? Because as we've been studying, the issue is spiritual. We looked much into that last time. That it's a spiritual issue. It's not just sex. It's not just physical relationship with someone unsanctioned. Aberrant sexual activity, God says. Sex outside of marriage. God says no to that. Why does he say that? Because of the damages it causes. It is a ripping of someone, of a relationship apart, that is far more than physical union. It is beyond that. It's because it does massive spiritual damage to people. Even non-believers who don't even believe in God. You can be an atheist and feel the pains that adultery causes. And a non-believer would wonder, what's wrong with me? What is this? A person could say, I just believe that we're animals. Why do I feel so violated? Why do I feel so broken? Why can't I get over this? What's been done to me? Or maybe if someone has committed it, why can't I forgive myself and be repaired and be fixed? There's a weight that this scourge carries. Why? It's spiritual. And until you recognize that you have been created as a spiritual being, you're not going to be able to get over it. You're not going to be able to reconcile with those in your life and with God. There are young people here tonight whose lives have been ravaged by a broken home because of adultery. Granted, it is true, Jesus said it, that Moses wrote and God said, yes, he hates divorce, but because of adultery, sexual immorality, divorce can take place. But we often think, well, if it's in the Bible, then if adultery has happened, then divorce takes place and all will be fine. All is not fine. the scars, the pain, the memory will be carried forever in this world. You say, yeah, but Jesus said there's an out, that if it happens, divorce, yes, it's there. But there's something greater than the divorce option. Do you know what it is? It's the forgiveness option. This is huge. To recover from adultery in a marriage, number one, immediately. Listen, immediately. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, the scripture tells us right around verse, I forget which verse it is. Chapter 4, verse 32. It says to be kind to one another. That means Christians in the context, watch, Christians in the context of life are to be, and they're ordered to be by God, kind to one another. Christians. But what about a married couple? Christians. Are they to be kind to one another as husband and wife? Even in the midst of adultery? The Bible says to be kind to one another, tender-hearted, big word. It means to have your heart tenderized by God. It means, listen, for you to take your heart and present it not to your mate, not to your husband, not to your wife. It means to take your heart to God. To go before Him. Now listen, to go before God and to have your heart with all of its emotions tenderized by the Lord. Have you ever tenderized a piece of meat? Didn't Rocky in the movie? Now you have to help me because I never saw the movie. I've only seen clips of this movie Rocky that was about 30 years ago, whatever, with Sylvester Stallone. Wasn't he punching a cow or something like that? Hanging in the meat locker? Right? That's a very good picture. I saw that in some thing before where he's punching this cow. And you say, what does that do to the thing? Well, imagine he's taking, as a boxer, he's taking his aggression against his opponent. He's getting upset. That's how a boxer would meet his opponent in the ring. He would even conjure up things to be upset with him. Make stuff up if need be. To go into the ring with a purpose. Well, if you've been violated by adultery, you don't need to think anything up. And as Rocky went into that locker to punch the meat, with every blow, he is A, tenderizing the meat, and with every blow, delivering a form of satisfaction from his heart. Right? A form of release. That's why you would see maybe in a situation like that where someone would, the wife who was offended would slap the husband or throw something down or beat on his chest and weep. Or the man might go out and, you know, drive 200 miles an hour or whatever he would do, or go punch a cow. In these hills, quite literally, possibly. The Bible says, take your heart, take it to God. Listen, obviously, don't raise your hands. Have you been a victim of adultery? If you have, you punching your ex or punching the person now will do no good. Driving 200 miles an hour is not going to do any good. You can go buy a bottle of Jim Beam tonight or Daniel Webster or whatever they call the drinks. What is it? Jack Daniels? I knew there's a Daniel in there somewhere. And drink it and say, that's it, I'm going to end my problems. You know what? When you wake up, you're still going to be a big, it's going to be a big problem. And you know what happens when you don't take it to the Lord? You say things like this. You never say it, but you say it. I am never going to let someone hurt me again. And you begin to build up a layer of callousness. Yes? And every time you're hurt, that's why dating's from hell. Every time a child is hurt in dating, they learn to build up a wall around their heart. And they learn not to let down their guard anymore. They don't let down their guard, and whenever time they're hurt, they go on a date, or some young woman violates one another's trust, and they want to play like adults, but they don't have adult reason, they don't have adult logic, and they can't do anything about it if something adult comes out of the situation. And so they just layer the pain, and they suppress the hurt, and you build levels, and then they meet someone and get married, and then one of those huge walls between us. Why is there a huge wall between us? The person's been conditioned with callousness. And God says, listen, bring me your heart. Bring it here. Bring me your heart. And I got to tell you, it takes a brave person to take their broken heart to the Lord. It takes huge faith, you know. I remember years ago, Dr. John Wolford was here, and he had made a comment about when cares and burdens concern you. He said, if you have a pillow in your home, grab the pillow. 1 Peter 5:7 says, cast all your cares upon the Lord because he cares for you. So he said, take the pillow and throw your problems in the lap of the Lord. Don't run across the room and catch the pillow after you throw it. Don't hang on to the pillow anymore. Don't hang on to your problem anymore. But it takes a lot of faith to take your broken heart and bring it to the Lord and say, Lord, I'm going to give this to you. You're going to have your heart tenderized by God if he does that. And you say, Pastor, why should I have my heart tenderized? I was the one that was sinned against. That idiot sinned against me. Hello, let me give you a clue. The person who is sinned against always pays the price. If you don't like those rules, then go to Mars. It's the way it is. The person who sinned against always pays the price. Did Jesus sin? Not one sin. Who pays the price for our sins? We go free, he pays the price. We did the wrong, he did nothing wrong. You may not like what I'm saying, but it's pure fact. My wife cheated on me, someone says. My husband cheated on me, someone says. I have justifiable hurts. We understand. We know. And it's impossible for you to forgive them. Impossible. Without God. Why? Forgiving one another. Wouldn't that just about heal everything? Forgiving one another. You say, I don't like that part. Well, you better like it. Because the next verse that comes along is this. Forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. Recovering from adultery, number one, begins with the poor, violated, injured person who's been a victim. Tonight, you need to say to the Lord, Lord, make me like you. And I know your emotions. Your emotions would say, I want the guy to rot. I want my spouse to rot in Hades forever. We understand that. But forgiveness, God gives you the ability. God gives you the ability to forgive the person that hurt you so you can go free. Did you hear that? Are you here with anybody tonight you know? Look at them right now. Turn and look at them. Go ahead. You can do it. Turn and look at them. If you know them. If you don't know them, don't look at them. Say this. Say this out loud to them. God gave me the ability to forgive, to set me free. Okay, then you don't need to look at them anymore now. Did you somehow misread forgiveness? Did you somehow say to yourself, I'll never forgive the guy, I'll never forgive the girl, I'll never forgive her, I'll never forget, never forgive her. Never. What are you doing that for? You already got injured and now you're taking out daggers and you're stabbing yourself. You're not hurting anybody but you. God gave forgiveness to set the one that was injured free, not to set the person. I'll never give them the satisfaction of knowing that I forgave them. What are you, crazy? You didn't even understand what God said about forgiveness. The person that's hurt, God gives the power to forgive the person that sinned against them so the person that is hurt can go free. The person that did the sin, they've got to meet God. They've got to talk to God. God's speaking to them. Let God deal with them. You get to go free. I know you want to extract a pound of flesh. We know this. We're humans. I understand that. God wants you to be freed from this. Why? Because the root of bitterness will grow up in you. And it will affect how you speak to people. It'll affect how you view things. And somebody, maybe your daughter or your son will come to you and someday and say, oh, I met a wonderful girl. I met a wonderful guy. And we want to get married. Get married? Why? So what happened to me can happen to you? Wow. You're messed up. Why are you darn tooting? I'm messed up. That person ripped me off. And they're ripping you off still. My. What power you have given them to control your life. All because we will not be disciplined to remember Jesus has forgiven us. God has forgiven us. And lest you forget, think for a moment. What kind of things has he forgiven you of if you're a Christian? Things I'd rather not talk about. Okay then. If it's happened to you and he's forgiven you, then Jesus says, okay, now you go out there and be like me. And tonight you'd say, I can't do that. That's exactly right. That's why I said you have to have his power. You want to recover from adultery in your family, in your life, in your home? Make amends. I'm telling you right now. In a crowd this size, someone's either in the midst of it or you're going to hear about it tomorrow. When you come home from work or whatever, and there's a note on your door. Can you imagine? You say, I don't have to imagine. Happened to me last week. Listen, go after that family. Go after that husband. Go after that wife. You say, Pastor Jack, you're asking me to go up there, stroll up there like Jesus, and just lay out the carpet so she can walk all over me. Is it, I don't know, maybe that's how you see it? I don't think so. What if you obey Jesus? What if you obey the Word of God? And God begins to do a miraculous work like you've never seen before in your life. Because God honors obedience every time. He will never let obedience be discouraged or neglected. He will always answer obedience. I have to tell you guys, people get all upset because my life is so blessed. I mean, I'm spoiled rotten. I asked God, Lord, show me a nice cloud. I want to see a cloud. It looks like Mickey Mouse. So I saw one today. Look, cloud looked like Mickey Mouse. I ask him all kinds of stuff. And he does, I'm telling you, he does stuff for me. He's amazing. Lord, I just look. I want to obey him. Choose tonight to obey him and you'll be set free. And you won't be walked on because watch this. If you go to your offending husband or wife and you show them Jesus, biblically, you be Jesus to them. You live out your life in obedience to Christ, watch this. If that person still wants to leave you, I tell this to men all the time. They'll come to church and they'll say, Pastor, my wife used to come here. I hear this. Look, watch. I can do it perfect. Watch me. Pastor, my wife used to come here. She came for years, and I wouldn't come. And she kept inviting me, and she wanted me to read the Bible with her, and I wouldn't come. I just wouldn't come. And she stopped coming to church. And I thought, you know, okay, that's great. You know, I don't feel so bad on Sunday mornings. She's not going anymore. And then she met a guy, and she left me. And I want her back. Think of that for a moment. That's not the way to go about it. I'll tell the man, listen, here's what you do. You're a Christian? Well, yeah, you know, kind of, sort of. Oh, boy. Okay, well, listen, become a Christian and become such a godly guy. Become such a godly man right now and follow Jesus. And you pray for your wife. Get yourself a Bible. Read it. Start in the book of Philippians. Come to church. Seek God. Worship Him. Put Him first in your life. Hey, what if she doesn't come back? Well, if she doesn't come back, at least she'll know she's walking out on the greatest guy on the planet. Listen, if she doesn't come back, let her know she's now leaving the greatest guy on the planet. And that's when all the... you mean you want me to be radical for Jesus? Is that what you want me to be? Yeah, because that's how you're going to rescue this home of yours. Oh, man, I don't know, man. That's kind of like a big commitment. This is serious stuff. Tonight, we partake of communion. For the last several weeks, we've been going on the Wednesday nights through the Ten Commandments. We came several weeks ago to the Seventh Commandment about adultery. It was supposed to be one night long, and it went multiple nights because of the magnitude of the effect I heard from people in the foyer or in between Wednesdays out in the community. So we went a little longer. Before we press on to the next commandment next week, wouldn't it be better for you to be healed tonight? If it's a memory of your distant past, of maybe your father and mother, I don't know, an aunt or an uncle, a grandma and grandma, I don't know, I don't need to know. Maybe it's you tonight. Maybe for somebody in here tonight, it's on the agenda, it's on the day timer. Next month, an affair with, listen, tear it up, run, flee. I believe God, because of what we know now, He'll hold us accountable for what we know on this. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads and we'll prepare our hearts for communion. And the ushers, by the way, tonight, we're not going to get up and move around like we have in the past. I want you to stay still. I didn't want anyone distracted tonight. I want you to stay still. The ushers will distribute the elements. I want you to just prepare your heart. And listen, tonight, if you are a Christian tonight, God will honor communion with you tonight. If you're not a Christian, do not partake of communion. The Bible forbids it if you're not a Christian tonight. This is for those who trust Jesus, the resurrected Christ, the Messiah, as Lord and Savior. It's for the believer. If tonight there is that latent bitterness, hurt, pain, sorrow, this is a night of healing. This is a night for you to receive the power of God, the forgiveness of God, so that you might go free with God. You might be here tonight and you don't know Jesus, but just this devotion tonight has affected you and you're saying, my goodness, I need Jesus. I need to be forgiven. Even as God in Christ has forgiven you, the Bible says, there's no forgiveness outside of a sacrifice. And that sacrifice is Jesus Christ on the cross. while heads are bowed and eyes are closed tonight, I want this verse to wash over your life, if you're willing. The Bible says in this room tonight, if anyone is in Messiah, in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry, the ability, the call of reconciliation to make up. Tonight, make up with God. And tonight, as much as it is possible, make up with those who have offended you in any arena. Heavenly Father, we pray tonight as a church, we pause on this Wednesday evening from all the hubbub and rush of our lives, of ministry, of church activity. We stop tonight, we rest, and we ask you, Father, that you'd search our hearts. Each of us, Lord, as individuals this evening, and that you'd bring your healing touch upon our lives. As we pause for a moment of silence for you to reflect and to think, as you pause, the ushers can come forward to prepare to distribute the elements this evening. We're asking you to think and to ponder. Do that now in Jesus' name.